We're going to go to Psalms 101. Psalms 101 this morning. This will be the last week, Lord willing, that we'll talk about walking uprightly, but Psalms 101. Brother David Nabunoah was in this psalm the other day when he was here, and he called it the Facebook psalm, and I never heard it called that before, but there is some very good truths in this psalm about personal holiness, walking uprightly, and we're going to look at this some this morning and a couple different things. So Psalms 101, we're going to read this whole psalm to start with this morning. Psalms 101, Bible says, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Let's pray, and we'll get into this morning. Father, I do thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for today. Thank you for the beautiful weather you've given us. Thank you for the safety that you gave the buses on the way here this morning. Lord, I want to thank you for our mothers. Thank you for my mother and, Lord, all that she's instilled into me. Thank you for the ladies sitting in this room that are mothers and the sacrifice that they have made for their children. And, Lord, I pray that you just bless them, help them. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning as we look at this subject of walking uprightly. Lord, I pray that in my life that I would strive to do this every day of my life. Lord, thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. I do want to say thank you to all the mothers. And thank you for those that have sacrificed, because it is a sacrifice, and have given for your children. I was reading an article out of a magazine the other day, and it's a magazine kind of with sustainable living. It's called Mother Earth News. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of that before. Obviously, the title of it, they kind of go to the extreme. You know, they consider the earth Mother Earth, but they've got some good articles as far as gardening and raising livestock. So it was, anyway, one of the articles was, it was written by a lady who had chosen not to have children, and I read the article, and it was sad, because, you know, in her mind she was trying to justify why she didn't want to have kids, but it all basically was summed up to, she was a very selfish person, okay? And that's what it was summed up to. You know, she, you know, and it's just, so thank you for those ladies that have, you know, that have chosen to have. And, you know, God's blessed you with children. And children are a heritage of the Lord, and they are a blessing. So thank you for that. But Psalms 101, I want to look at primarily verse number 2. Primarily verse number 2 is where we're going to jump off today. And we've been talking about walking uprightly and walking in a principled way. And that's why we as Christians, if you are going to walk uprightly, it's a decision that you have to make. It's not a decision that you make as a group. It's a decision that you must make. And it's a decision of the heart. Because many times walking uprightly isn't done when other people are around you. Walking uprightly is done in privacy. And we're going to kind of look at that this morning. And I want to take you to a few different places. But Psalms 101, verse number 2, Bible says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Now, I taught this in Master's Club, and it's very interesting, that last phrase, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. But, you know, you are the person that you really are is who you are inside your house, okay? I want you to think about that. Because a lot of times people, they come, or they're a different person when they're around other people than what they are inside their house, okay? And you are who you are inside your house. Now, you know, you have to come to grips with, okay, is what I am what God wants me to be, okay? But we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. You know, one thing I've always teenagers, Pastor Ross calls it a hypocrisy radar. And teenagers, they know when you're not the same. They have no respect for you if you're different one place and then you change and are different in a different place. They lose respect for you that way. They want you to, and that's one thing in my life. I know my mom and dad, when I was growing up, they were consistent all the time. They weren't one thing at church and then there was a different thing at home. Okay, they were consistent. They were always the same. I didn't, you know, it wasn't like they, you know, they were fighting in the car on the way to church and they got to church and they were just smiling and everything's good. All right? That's not the way they were. I don't ever remember hearing my mom and dad fight. Or argue. Honestly, I don't ever remember hearing them argue about anything. Okay? And they were consistent through all of my years growing up. And I appreciate that. And I think we got to be careful because sometimes we come to church and this is what everybody thinks that we are. And it's not that way at home. Well, walking uprightly is walking with a perfect heart, not just out where everybody can see you, okay? It's walking with a perfect heart in your house, okay? And that's very, very important. We're going to look at that some this morning. Brother Chad, what makes us walk with a perfect heart within our house? What makes you do what's right when nobody else is around? Okay? Because that's the question is, do you do what's right when no one else sees you? Because if you don't do what's right when no one else sees you, you're not really doing what's right. Okay? And you have to understand that it's a matter of the heart, and you have to understand that it's a matter of, I have to do this because ultimately God sees me. That's what the fear of God is. All right? What makes us walk uprightly? What makes us walk with a perfect heart, even within our own house? I think the statement before that maybe shed some light on this. It says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? What is David saying here? He says, all right, I'm going to walk in my house with a perfect heart. But when are you coming? All right, let's just use this illustration. I know my wife's this way. You know, my wife keeps a very clean house, okay? But we have three children, okay? And all of you mothers understand what is entailed with three children, okay? So, you know, she cleans up one room and goes to the next, and by the time she gets back around, you know, that room has had children in it. Well, let's just leave it at that, okay? And, you know, we work with the kids. You know, you got to pick up your stuff, but it's a mother's constantly, you're constantly doing that. So that's part of life, okay? But if you knew that you're having guests over, okay, there's like a heightened sense of stress and urgency to try to get your house clean, okay? It's like, I've got guests coming. We've got to have this thing spotless, all right? Well, why is that? Because there is an expectancy of somebody coming, of somebody visiting, okay? And what drives us to, you know, what drives you to go to the extra mile? What drives you to clean the house a little extra? It's an expectancy of somebody coming, all right? If you know that, you know, my wife, we just built a new house and, you know, I've had people, hey, can we come see your house? I don't care. You can come see my house. That's fine. But my wife, on the other hand, she's like, you didn't tell me they were coming. And it's like, oh, sorry. And most of you ladies, you know what she's feeling right that moment. Where I come home and, hey, somebody's going to be here in 5 minutes. 5 minutes? What? You know, and what is that? Because she's got this, you know, I think especially ladies have this, I don't care. You know, I think the house is, I think she keeps a very clean house. You know, I have a wonderful wife, and, you know, kids will be kids. It doesn't bother me. But her, it's like, oh, we got to get this, you know, spotless. I'm just like, shut the door. They don't need to go in that room. You know what I mean? I don't know. That's what it is. Me, on the other hand, it's like, you know, I built my barn, and I don't have things finished yet in my barn. And so it's like, okay, I don't want to have people over until I got this finished. And so I'm, you know, and I don't care that there's, you know, stuff all over the barn because I haven't built shelves for things to go on yet. It's just I don't have this finished yet, and so I don't really, haven't really invited anybody over to see it yet. Well, what is that? It's still, it goes back to that expectancy. You want everything, when somebody comes, you almost want that expectancy. You want it to be nice so they can see it. And what did David say here? He said, I will walk in my house with a perfect heart. Why? Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? It's like, when are you coming? When are you going to be here today? Are you going to be here in a minute? Are you going to be here in 30 seconds? You know, if we would always live our life with the thought that, would I want to be doing what I'm doing right now if God came right now? Would I be watching this show on TV if God showed up right now? And that will drive you to live your life walking even in your own house with a perfect heart. You know, used to Pastor Robert Ross, and you don't hear about it anymore because we've morphed beyond this. Everybody used to preach against, well, you know, you shouldn't go to a bar and you shouldn't go to, you know, the theater. And that was, you know, that was the hot point, you know, bless God, you should. But listen, we've brought the bar into our house. We've brought the theater into our house. You don't have to go anywhere to indulge in what the world has for you. It can be streamed into your house and nobody sees it coming in into your house. So what in our generation, this is more important than ever before because it's important for us that we walk uprightly, we walk with a perfect heart even in our own house. You know, the Red Box, you know, there for a while, Red Box was a big thing. Well, I'm not going to the theater. Yeah, but you're going, you know, getting a movie out of the Red Box. Okay, and listen, when they first came out, I was actually in college, all right? And me and my wife were married. And, you know, it was kind of one of those things that was like, well, we would go find, you know, some, I don't know what it was. Mostly it was like documentaries. I like watching documentaries like historical things or how things are made. So we'd go find something. And then I got convicted about it, like, you know, look at all the other things, all right, that's on that. People don't know if I'm standing outside and they see Brother Chad, you know, one of my bus kids see Brother Chad at a Red Box, they don't know what movie I'm getting. So I don't do it. Okay? Well, Brother Chad, you know, but we've even gone farther than that. Now they've got Netflix where you don't even have to go to it. It's streamed right into your house or your cable television or whatever it is. What is that? What determines when you turn the TV off? What determines when you turn the radio off? It's because I'm walking. I don't know that God, if God showed up right now, would I want him to find me doing what I'm doing? Would I want him to find me watching what I'm watching? Would he be pleased with that? Because it's a sense of expectancy. It's a sense of expectancy. Let's go to Ezekiel. I apologize. The other day I referenced this passage. I didn't give you an actual reference. I don't remember where it was. And I said it was in Isaiah, and it's not in Isaiah. It's in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 8. It can go, this thing about walking uprightly within your house. You know, we've all got phones, or most people have phones, and, you know, what are you sending on a text? Would you want, if God was to see that, and he does see it, would God approve what you sent? Would God approve what you just said on the telephone? Would God approve what you're watching online? Ezekiel chapter number 8, there's an interesting story here, and we're going to talk about this briefly, that brings to light what we're talking about this morning, about walking uprightly within your own house, not just out in the world. Because that's, you know, out in the world, we want to, you know, well, I'm a Christian. I'm going to, you know, if you can get past the I'm not going to conform to the world, you've got to go past and you've got to be, I'm going to not just conform to the world. I'm not even going to be like the world when nobody else can see me, okay? Because sometimes, let me say this, sometimes it's easier to stand for God when there is pressure than it is to stand for God when there's not pressure. Does that make sense? You know the hardest place to stand for God and do what's right sometimes is Bible college. You're like, what? Yeah. Because a lot of times people go to Bible college and you think, well, this is where all the Christian, good Christian kids come. No, that's not true. And sometimes the hardest place to stand for God is when everybody else is, quote unquote, doing what's right, and you feel like you can just blend in. Well, no, that's not true. It's walking uprightly even in your own house. Ezekiel chapter number 8, look at verse number 7. Look at verse number 7. Ezekiel has a vision here. So I want you to think, he's dreaming this, basically, if you could imagine that. Verse number 7, the Bible says, "And he brought me is talking about Ezekiel, to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, there was a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door." So I want you to kind of go through this, all right? So he comes to the, in his dream, he comes to this wall, and there's a hole in the wall. And they say, dig in this hole. So he starts digging in this hole, and it's like this secret door in this that he uncovers. So, all right, so this is where we're at. Verse number 9. "And he said unto me, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about." Now listen, this is stuff that's inside somebody's house, if you would. Now, well, Brother Chad, we don't have that. Well, do we? Do we? A lot of people do. If you would go into most people's houses, there are sometimes idols on the wall. What? Yeah, there's idols on the wall. Things that they... An idol is anything that you put in front of God. Think about that. If you put your kids in front of God and you have a picture of your... Now, listen, my wife, I'm not preaching against having a picture of your child on the wall. I think you should have a picture of your child on the wall. All right? But let's go into the average bus kid's house. Okay? They've got pictures of idols on their wall. Okay? And it's not just that. They've got pictures. Okay, anything can be an idol if it comes in front of God. So we can relate to this. So he went in and he sees all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. "And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jezaniah the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, The Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth." What are they saying? Well, God can't see us in here, so we're just going to serve these idols. But what else? It goes a step farther. Look at what it says in verse number 12. "Every man in the chambers of his" what? Imagery. You know where that is? In what I think, just from me reading the Bible and just taking it for what it says, that's up here. That's up here. You know, not only is it important to walk uprightly in your house, I mean, in a very practical way, but what are you thinking about up here? Gentlemen, if you're thinking about thoughts that you shouldn't think about or immoral thoughts, that's not walking uprightly. That's an unprincipled way to live. Okay? What drives you to do that? Well, if God can see what I'm thinking right now, would he be pleased with what I'm thinking? Remember, it goes back to that expectancy of, is God going to be here today? Is God going to be here in the next 5 seconds? If he is, would he want, you know, because God is the reader of our thoughts. God knows what you're thinking. All right? Would he be pleased with what I'm thinking about right now? What is, that drives me to keep a pure mind. Okay? But they were seeing in the chambers of his imagery. And then he says, "The Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth." You know, listen, just because you're in the house and in the dark, like it says here, doesn't mean that God can't see you and that God is not pleased with what you're doing. Okay? Proverbs chapter number 3, verse 33, I'll just read it. It says, "The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter number 23. And I told the young people when we was teaching through this, you know, it's not just about listening to the right music at church. It's about listening to the right music in your car. That's who defines who you are. That's who defines who you are. It's not, you know, we all come to church and we all listen to the right music. It's not about that. It's about listening to the right music when you're by yourself. That's when you are who you really are, okay? And that's when you are who you are, is when you're watching TV by yourself. And you have to make the decision. Listen, nobody else humanly sees what you're watching, but God sees what you're watching. Okay? That is what separates the men from the boys, if you would. Okay? Is when you can live your life to that level, and it comes back to self-discipline. When you can live your life to that level of self-discipline, okay, God will bless you for that because you're walking uprightly. Not because of what everybody else thinks. You're not conforming. But it's because of what you're doing when nobody else is even there. All right? That's what walking uprightly is. Deuteronomy chapter 23. We're going to look at verse number 14. I know I'm not taking it out of context, but slightly with what the Bible's talking about here, we're slightly taking it maybe just a little out of context, but I'll explain it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 14. Bible says, "For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee." Now, I've taught this to our young people before also, but what in the context, what this is just divers laws for the children of Israel. But obviously they don't have latrines, they don't have bathrooms, they don't have outhouses, okay, in the wilderness. So what God was telling them is, okay, you need to carry a shovel with you. So if you have to go use the restroom, you dig a hole and you bury everything. Does that make sense? Okay. And so God says, one of the reasons you should do this is because I walk through your camp. I'm walking through your camp. Now, this can be applied in a very practical way. This is a very practical passage of Scripture. Okay, this is very hands-on. There's no ulterior interpretation here. But if God's walking through our house, would I want something sitting out that God would see and say and would turn away from that? Would God want to, if God's walking through my house and my television on, would he want to leave my house? Now remember, if God leaves your house, there's an interesting study, and maybe we'll do this sometime, about the presence of the Lord. And if God's presence leaves your house, do you think your house is a blessed place anymore? No. So if I have something in my house that would cause the presence of God to leave my house, wouldn't it make sense that I want to get rid of that out of my house? Okay. Why would you not have some magazines in your house? Well, they've got some good articles. What about all the other stuff? If God was to sit down on my couch and pick up a book off my coffee table, would I be like, whoa, let me rip out a couple pages here. hang on. Let me, can I have that remote real quick? is that what we would be? Hang on, God, let me go. Listen, if God was coming to my house, I know I said earlier that I don't really care if you come to my house unexpected. I would want to know if God's coming to my house. You talk about getting everything spick and span. Now, that's just having your house clean. Okay, if God's walking through my house, I don't want him to have a shovel to get through my house. Does that make sense? In a very practical sense, all right? And I don't want anything in my house personally that if God was to come and sit down and he would look and say, we don't watch hardly any TV, all right, at all. Partly because of what I'm talking about this morning. Because listen, there's not much out there that you could sit down on the couch and say, God, would you sit here with me and watch this with me? And if you were honest, you could say, God, if you see anything in this that you don't like, would you let me know? We don't do that anymore as Christians. Why? Because we don't have that personal holiness. Okay? Now, Brett Chad, do you watch TV sometimes? Yes, I do. Honestly, I don't have a whole lot of time to. I just don't have a whole lot of time to. And I know me too. And I'm just being honest with you. I don't think that you should hide anything. I'm being honest. I know me. If I sit down and watch something, I'm like zoned to what it is. And I think most guys are probably, I don't know, most guys are probably like that. Maybe you're not. But I'm like, my wife will be talking to me. I'm like zoned. I don't know what she said. Okay? And I don't like living that way. I don't like to have my life controlled by something like that. Okay? So those are other reasons. So why should we walk with a perfect heart, even with our own house? I think the primary reason, honestly, is because there should be an expectancy of, is God coming right now? Would God be here right now? If God was to go out into your car right now, and you just started it, and the last station that you listened to was to come up, would he be pleased with that? Okay? Would he be pleased with that? I hope he would be. In my life, I really strive, and I fail. I'm not gonna stand up here and say I'm perfect at that, because there, you know, my flesh wants things just like your flesh wants things. And sometimes I shouldn't yield to that, but I do. Okay? That's part of a sin nature. But being self-disciplined helps us overcome that. All right, so we see in Psalm chapter 101 that we, let's go back there, Psalms 101. Walking within our house with a perfect heart. All right, so because he's walking in his house with a perfect heart, we see that in verse number 2, okay? Now let's look at the results, and we'll just spend the last few minutes on this. Look at the results, and we've kind of covered this already. Look at the results of walking with a perfect heart, even within your own house. Verse number 3, because I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Verse number 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Why wouldn't you set something, a wicked thing, before your eyes? Because I'm walking within my house with a perfect heart, with the expectancy that at any moment God should show up. Okay, that's why I'm doing this. The last part, I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. It's a fellowship thing. You know, I'm not going to fellowship with those that are turning aside. Okay, I'm not going to be rude to them. I'm not going to be mean to them. I'm not going to burn my bridges and say things that they don't ever feel like they can come back. But at the same time, I'm not going to go hang out with them, okay? I'm not bringing those people. Listen, have you ever thought, the movies that you watch, you bring those people, those actors into your house. Think about that. I'm just bringing this, okay, well, this is just a horror movie. And you're bringing that into your house? You're bringing a serial killer into your house. Okay. And if you want, I don't really want to, personally. You do. You like it? Don't like it. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Here's another thing that happens sometimes in our houses. Whoso privily, that means privately, it's not like you're out, you know, writing it in newspaper headlines, but whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Stop the gossip. I have that actually written right here. It says, stop the gossip in my Bible. Listen, you know what happens sometimes? Listen, God sees your text too. You can text, you can gossip on a text message. You can gossip on a telephone. If you know enough information to gossip, you know enough information to pray. And instead of, use that as a trigger. Well, I need to go tell somebody. Do you need to go tell somebody? There's a song about, and I don't know all the words, and I don't even know the tune. I had one of my teen boys told me the other day I was a terrible singer, and I was giving him a hard time, and I was like, I want you to be honest with me. And he's like, all right. And I said, am I a terrible singer? He's like, Brother Chad, you're a terrible singer. I'm like, well, thank you. I needed that. So I'm not going to sing for you. You know, God sees what you put on your phone. But I started to say about the song. If you're going to go to somebody about somebody else, go to God about that somebody else instead of going to somebody else, all right? If there's a problem or there's a shortcoming in somebody's life, don't take it to your brother or sister. Take it to God, okay? Pray about them. You know, I don't gossip about, we've got young people that maybe not do what we think is what God would have them to do with their life. I don't go talk about them to other people. I don't do that. You know what I do? If I think about that person, I pray for that young person. Because me talking about them is not going to help them, but me praying for them could help them. Okay? But what is one of the things, if I'm going to walk uprightly, if I'm going to do what's right, and if I'm going to walk with a perfect heart, even within my own house, even on my own cell phone, where nobody else can see me, I'm gonna. What the Bible say here? I will cut them off. Cut it off. They don't need to have that influence in our life. Hath a high look, a proud heart. Will not I suffer? Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. You know who I hire, a young man? I hire quite a few young men around here to help me with various odds and ends. You know, I hire young men that are doing what's right. Okay? If a young man's got a rebellious spirit, now I'll work with him some, okay, to try to build a relationship, but listen, if you're not going to listen to me and you're not going to heed to the instruction or something like that, I'm not dealing with it. Okay? And I think those of you that have hired it's not worth the headache. I'm not dealing with it. Okay? What is that? What did David say here? You know, who I'm going to have serve me? Those that are also walking uprightly. Okay? It's a good employee thing. He that worketh deceit, verse number 7, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. What would drive a person to weed out relationships, to weed out all these things that nobody else hears, nobody else sees? It's just a one-on-one relationship. What would cause a person to do that? Walking uprightly, even in your own house. Walking with a perfect heart. You know what walking with a perfect heart is, basically, in my rendering of it? Is that God can look down at my heart, and instead of my heart being closed, I can say, here's my heart, God. You look at it. You look at it. Is there anything wrong right here? You look at it. Is it always right, Brother Chad? No. I don't want anybody to think that I'm always right, because I'm not. And I struggle with this, okay? This is just a Bible truth. But walking uprightly is not, remember what I said, walking uprightly is a matter of the heart. And walking uprightly is a matter of what you do, not when everybody else sees you, but what you do in your own house. In your own house. So let's keep those things in mind. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I really do. I want to live my life that you would be pleased with what you see in my heart. Lord, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And Lord, I pray that you would just be pleased with what comes out of our mouths, but more importantly, you would be pleased with what you see in our heart. Help us walk even within our own houses, even when there's no one else looking. Help us to do what's right. And Lord, I pray that you just help us with that. Help me with that, Lord. I sometimes seem like I struggle. And Lord, I want to be better for you. And I pray that you just bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.